Las Vegas. Thanks for joining us back here on Realty Check, your local Las Vegas real estate news show. I'm your host, Trish Williams.
I'm your co-host, Tiana Carroll, and today we have a returning guest that you'll see quite often, the Miss Beautiful Sharon Swanton. Sorry, I get all tongue-tied when you're here.
Sharon's our real estate life business coach. She's with Affinity Solutions. She's the owner and operator and the coach for Affinity Solutions, and she's bringing knowledge to our show all the time, helping us work through our issues, and we're so excited to have you back.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm excited to be back. This is a perfect time for this conversation.
Yes, it is. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about negative self-talk. But before we get into negative self-talk, let's get into a little bit of real estate talk.
Speaking of negative self-talk.
Yeah, let's get all the negativity out there right now.
Yeah, well, I guess we're doing our broken record again.
Yeah, it's I looked at these numbers today and I was like, are these the same as last week? Did nothing happen?
Nothing changed. It's just, but it feels like that. It feels like it's sort of like puttered out and stalled.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some movement. It's very sluggish. I mean, okay, so we look at our numbers. We're at 7,920 single family homes available on the market this week. And we've had some price reductions.
1644.
So a little bit less than last week. So that price reduction number is creeping down.
Right.
Our inventory is just staying about there.
I'm just seeing a lot of stagnation. I'm making up my own words here.
That's okay. We all make up our own words on this show.
I love making my own words up. That's just my thing.
They're my favorite too.
Yes, but I've been seeing this happen as far as like there's, you know, not a lot of people are really wanting to list their home right now because they already know what's happening.
Right.
The super motivated are the ones that are like, hey, I need to list. Mm-hmm. We just have this nothing's really happening right now. Just nothing. It's just like really kind of slow and crickets. There's a little bit of movement, but it's so minimal.
Yeah, I refer to it as lava, right? Because we have very few buyers and then we have some sellers who are upset and wanting to pull out of the market. We have other sellers who are hanging tight, but now they've gotten to the point where they understand where we are in the market. It's not such a shock anymore. Like, what do you mean I'm going to be on the market more than 10 days?
So in keeping with today's show, what I want to remind you is that when people are scared, they do nothing.
Yeah, well, here we are in
nothing.
Is
it the realtors that are scared, though? This is something, too, that I question myself about the market that we're in and everything.
Okay.
Are the realtors, and I thought about this the other day, because a lot of people that I know that are very, very good, high performers, some people that I look up to are now, one person I spoke with last week said she's never had this many withdrawals, you know, in her career, which I'm feeling the same. And it's like, it's just like blows, you know, like mm-hmm. What's happening? I get why it's happening, but it's really hard to take when this is not your track record. Mm-hmm. And are some people just saying, you know what, I'm just going to bury my head in the sand and wait for it all to stop?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
They are. That's exactly what they're doing. Just stop the world. I want to get off.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Wake me up when this is over. Yeah. I don't want to be here.
I don't want to know about it. I don't want to be part of it.
Yeah.
You know, just let me know when it's done.
Yeah. I feel like it's crippling a lot of us.
Uh-huh.
And oh gosh, you new agents that are starting right now, they're going to be good.
They
are.
Forged in
because,
fire.
Well, they don't know any better.
Yeah.
And so they're going to go out and do what their coaches or teachers or managers tell them to do.
Yeah.
And they will have some success because it's out there. It's just not as abundant as it was at one time.
Right.
And so they're going to grow up in a very difficult time, which means the easy time is going to be like, they won't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
Spring break.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've said this so many times. When I started, it was a short sell market. My first listing was a short sell. And then when I did a real, like a regular listing, I was like, whoa, this is easy.
Right. Yeah.
It is.
So
right.
It is so, and you know, when I learned through a short sell, I just thought that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
You don't know any different. And I have coaching clients that are doing extremely well, but they're doing things very differently from the rest of the world because they don't know any better.
Yeah.
They're taking some new paths.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is good.
It is good.
Everybody should take new paths and grow.
Yeah, the problem is there are some people going, I stopped the world, I want to get off.
Yeah.
And you got real estate agents doing the same thing. They'll say to me, Sharon, don't you think it'll be better in the spring? I say, no, 2 years. Two years. Just get ready.
I've had a lot of those, too, that say, well, what about, you know, March next year? Rates are going to come down. I had someone tell me yesterday, rates coming down March of next year. And I'm like, well, you know, my crystal ball, it's not working. I don't know. People are saying that. Yep. Don't know who started the rumor. Yep. I don't know if it's true. It's possible. Anything's possible. But we don't know. Do you want to wait and see if there's a maybe? But what if they're higher? What if they're in 10? Yeah. They could be 10 because some people are saying that.
Oh, well, I lived in real estate through a market that went from 8 to 18.
Yeah.
Percent. And I was still selling real estate. In fact, that year, I made more money than I had made up until that point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's always money to be made. You have to be willing to change the way you work. And that's the part that's hard. Mm-hmm. You have to do things differently. Well, you have to learn new skills.
Changing that mindset.
And changing your mindset.
Ma'am, that is why you are here, right? That's today's show, is that negative self-talk and how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's going through it at some level in their life, whether Correct. It's in their business, their personal life, maybe they're not achieving their goals. And when you don't Yep. achieve your goals, that can be destructive to your own self-talk, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So let's get into that.
Okay.
Negative self-talk. I'm sure it's self-explanatory. Everybody knows what that means. But that's this little voice in your head that tells you that you're awful, tells you bad things about yourself. You're a loser. You're not good enough. You're mm-hmm. you don't deserve this. Mm-hmm. All of these things, and it affects our lives. It affects
right.
our businesses. It affects how we operate. And how do we deal with this?
Okay, and it's not actually a voice. We talk about it as a voice. For me, it first shows up as a feeling. So what I want to talk about first is, how does it show up? How does it show up with you? How does the negative voice in, how does it show up? What do you hear, or what do you? It's really what you think.
Yeah, and for mine, I just being honest, it's all day, every day.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You never get a break.
You don't want to be in my head. It's not good. It is all day, every day. It is sometimes it's almost crippling. Like sometimes mm-hmm. it's a struggle getting it out, you know, and I have to like really work and fight through it, but. It's a lot of things, you know, it's everything. It'll tell me in my family, you know, I always strive to be, you know, good, like over pulling the family together, a good mother. I'm a professional and a mother. My kids are now older, but this has always been a, you know, you're not a good mom, or you're not a good wife. You're not good at this. And then it comes to my business. You're not good enough for this. Why do you think you could do this? Or you're a loser, and you're going to be a loser, or some, you know, all of yep. these things. And my track record showing that I'm doing good in all of these things I want to do good in, but my, yep. what's going on in my head is still telling me I'm not good enough.
Right.
So there's that disconnect, right? Well, between the reality of what we see as you versus what's happening inside.
There is actually a positive aspect to that, but, and it's not uncommon with top producers to be struggling with that type of message that, really, frankly, you made those decisions when you were about 5 or 6, and that was input that you got from other people. It wasn't something you dreamed up on your own. But here's the positive side of it. As you begin to fight that, as you begin to say, wait a minute, and it probably began as, okay, maybe you're right, maybe that's all true, but I'm going to do the best I can.
Yeah,
that's usually where it starts when you're fighting back. I'm going to do the best I can. And then the best you can works. So what starts happening is what is negative self-talk actually becomes a motivator mm-hmm. in a very weird way. Mm-hmm. It motivates you to prove yourself wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I do get, and I'll get caught up in my head and emotions sometimes, and like this whole thing, and then I'll start to be like, yeah, that is what it is, and I can't change it. And then I'm like, no, I don't want to live in that life. I'm going to have to figure out how to change it, whether I have to work harder or do more or do whatever. I have to make that not true.
Exactly. How does it show up for you?
Okay, so for me, my situation's a little bit different. Two things. Mine shows up in a knocking myself off track sort of way. Like, I know I need to do this, but this is more important. Wow. And I prioritize other people's feelings, experiences, time over the actual busy work of being busy in real estate. Mm-hmm. So that's where my negative comes in on my business level. And for me personally, my father was a positive mental attitude coach. So wow. I was raised in the environment that love yourself first. Nobody can change your attitude, but you can make sure that you see the good and come from gratitude. Happiness is a choice. So that's wow. always been ingrained in me, right? But then the universe was like, ha, 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 look at you all confident over there. And then they brought me an outside force, right? And for years, I was in a situation where I was always being told that I was fat, that I was ugly, that I was a hag, that I was stupid, that I'd never accomplished anything. And for me, that was all new. And that was a constant battle of having to navigate the day-to-day, talking my outside source self-talk out of getting into my head. Mm-hmm. And that was always exercises in being positive, being grateful, making the choice to not let that affect me, which is very cumbersome in itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And isn't it, it's just amazing to me, like looking at you, it's like, how could anybody say that?
You're tall, beautiful, blonde,
and she's just, you know, she's amazing.
Exactly.
And,
that's very kind. Thank you.
It's just amazing. You hear that someone would say that, or that, you know, that you would think that.
Relentlessly, like, girl, all the time.
That is insane.
But that's not so uncommon. In fact, Trish, if you'll think back, I'll bet there was a time in your career as you were beginning to be successful where there were people around who were taking little pokes at you, who were taking little shots, who were trying to pull you back.
Still now, even other co-workers, what would you call them? People that are
associates.
Yeah. No, still, you know, you, mm-hmm. you get 10 steps ahead and someone's like, oh no, shoot down.
Right.
That's always overcoming. And even starting, I mean, when I started in real estate, there's a whole like long story about this, but I used to work construction. When I started in real estate, I left this, like, you know, it was like a union job. I had a pension and guaranteed pay and all of these great
all the things that we don't know what they
yeah right real estate everybody wants.
Where do I get that?
Signing up to work commission and be unemployed every day. Yeah. So people are like, "What are you thinking? Right? You're crazy.
Right.
This isn't going to work out. Do you know how many realtors are broke? Like, why on earth would you do this?" Yep. And I was like, I have to do this. I've always wanted to. Mm-hmm. I have to try it out. And people were like, "You're making a huge mistake." And I'm like, "It's okay. I can get it back. Right. You know, I'll figure it out." But I have to do it.
Right. So what happens is when the external forces show up.
Okay.
In your case, it was an incredibly negative human being.
Same. Yeah.
In your case, it was a lot of little things. But when those forces show up, what happens is they get into partnership with the part of you that is already feeling some of these things, and then it's a double whammy. Then it's not only are you fighting them, but you're fighting yourself as well. And so you have to have a way to do that. You have to have a path, all right? And one of the things that I talk about all the time is you got to talk to yourself. I want to tell you how it shows up for me, because it still does. Anytime I'm working on something I haven't done before, like, for example, right now I'm working on posting regularly the things I'm learning as I'm coaching my clients, because every week I learn something new. That's the benefit of the work I do, is that I get to go, oh wow, yeah, look at that. And then if I'm able to provide input or a path or a way to them, then I think you should write that down and you should share it with other people. Well, what do you suppose happens the minute I start to think I should write it down? This fear shows up, and right behind it is, well, what are you going to write? Nobody cares about that stuff anyway. It all goes on in my head just like it does in yours and in yours and in everybody else's. We've all got that part of us. I mean, maybe there's some perfect people out there that don't, but I haven't met any of them. Most of us have that. So for me, how it shows up first is a fear, a feeling of fear. And then right behind it are all the thoughts that come right behind it. So when you're talking about and now what we have in real estate is an external reality that's a real boogeyman, I mean, it's not just our self-talk.
right. The market's like,
the market's going,
I wish that was negative.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be awesome.
The market is going, whoa, here I am, and too bad for you.
Yeah.
Right.
The Fed needs to deal with their negative self-talk.
Exactly right.
They have some external critics out there. Yeah, Fed some insecurity complexes.
And here's the problem now for top producers, and I know you experience this, because you've had high levels of success, anything that looks like less than that, you internalize.
Oh, gosh.
You think it's you.
Yeah. I constantly, and sorry, I already can't believe I'm saying this on camera, but
it's going out to the world. Everybody will know.
I'm constantly telling myself, you're a has-been. Like, oh,
there
my gosh,
you go.
Everything
there
you did
you
must
go.
Have been accidental the last 8 years. Yep. Like, what's
that imposter syndrome?
Yeah, that imposter syndrome. And I know when I come down to reality and I look at the numbers and what I'm doing and even what I'm still doing through this market.
Yeah.
It's okay, but I get caught up in this, like, it's done. It's over, you know, now.
No, I get it. So one thing that I implemented in my life from the last time you were here was we talked about saying, communicating aloud instead mm-hmm. of just in our head, that subconscious and that conscious mind, making that connection that they don't have naturally.
Right.
And so over the past, what's it been, 6-7 weeks since we've seen you?
And
I've been now in my morning gratitude speech to myself. Instead of doing it in my head, I say it out loud.
Good.
And
okay.
I just make sure.
And vision is another thing that will help you a lot. So I don't think I've coached either one of you around this, but you need to create a vision, and we can talk about what the elements of that are. And then you say your vision out loud. Along with your gratitude speech, you say your vision. The vision is about how you want your future to look, and it's a verbal picture. And it has some elements to it, but you add that to it, because the unconscious mind and the conscious mind do not talk to each other. And so in order for you to start dealing with the unconscious assumptions, faulty unconscious assumptions, is you have to start literally talking to yourself. And you have to say to yourself, wait a minute, what are you talking about? That's not true. I'm this, 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 and this. I've done that, and that. I have this evidence that I do a good job, and I am good at what I do, and whatever your issues are, but you have to talk out loud.
Yeah, right. So even if your little subconscious drunk monkey is telling you, people think you're crazy if you're talking to yourself
out loud. Exactly.
Just do it anyway.
Exactly.
Who cares what they think?
That's society brainwashing. Let's get over that.
That's exactly
not
right.
True. We should be talking to ourselves.
To myself all the time.
Well,
programmed wrong.
If you don't, other people will. So, you know, you have a choice.
Yeah?
You can listen to you or you can listen to other people.
And this is true. I sat down with my team leader. I'm going to give Darren a shout out.
Darren
Philippi. And I was telling him, like, oh, you know, again, the, you know, production, my production's way down, you know, maybe something's going on with me, my business, whatever, because everything is. And I found out by talking to other people, everybody's production's down, but I'm very hard on myself over this because it's not my norm. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, it's been a struggle. And he just, you know, showed me the numbers, right? Numbers don't lie. He's like, wait, this, you did this, and this. So how could you say that was accidental? Okay, I get it. But sometimes it's the same thing. It's like I'm telling myself something and then I have to have someone say, like, no, this isn't, and I need to learn to be that someone that says, no, this isn't
true.
Yes, you
do. Yes, you do.
Because I can't just go to everybody all the time and hope they're going to fix it.
Well, you can, but they won't always fix it is the problem. You know, you get the wrong person, and they'll go, yeah, you're right, Trish. You know,
it's true.
You're absolutely right. You're no good. I don't know how you ever got all those awards. It was a goddamn accident. That's what you'll hear.
That's what I tell myself.
Well, and so if you talk to the wrong person, you get into real trouble.
Yeah.
That's the reason you need to talk to yourself, because at least you know you care about you, and you aren't going to feed yourself any more negative information than you already are conjuring up on your own.
Right. Right.
Okay, so the positive side of negative self-talk is that most top producers deal with some level of this, because what motivates them to be top producers is in effect to prove themselves wrong. Hmm. In fact, I will tell you that a top producer going through a slump is the most crazed, unhappy human being on the planet. Here's what Here's what they will tell me.
Thank you.
This is what they'll, yeah.
In walks Trish. This, no, I'm just kidding.
Here's what they will tell me. This will be when their last listing is in escrow. They don't have any listings and they're not working with any buyers. Mm-hmm. And they come in and they say, I don't know how to sell real estate. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I have no idea if I'll ever sell another piece of property again. I don't think I'll ever have another client. The business has gone. I'm going to have to go get a job.
Yeah.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah.
And I go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You had a fantastic year last year. You did however many transactions. Excuse me.
Some water,
yeah.
Ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes.
My allergy.
Yeah, well, I was looking the other day. Panda Express is paying $19 an hour. I
mean,
that's a decent.
And this is how it shows up. You find yourself looking at the newspaper, looking at the want ads or on the internet, going, I wonder what jobs are out there. It's like, hello, excuse me. This is crazy. Yeah. And you even know it's crazy and you do it anyway. It's also sometimes a sign of a slump. But with a top producer, what it is that they're getting feedback that is contrary to their past experience, but it feeds right in to the negative person inside that's just waiting for the opportunity to see, you don't really know what you're doing. You're not as good as you thought you were. Watch, look what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know. The first time it ever happened to me as a broker, and I had a top producer come in and tell me that, I was just shocked. I said, what are you talking about? Of course you're gonna do real estate. Nope. I'm closing my last escrow. I don't have any buyers. I don't have any listings. I'm never going to sell real estate again. And I thought, okay, this is the business equivalent of committing suicide, right?
Can I have your database?
Yeah. Right. You're absolutely right. This isn't the business for you. I'll go ahead and get this database right off your hands.
Just tell
Thank
anybody
you.
To call me for future referrals.
Exactly.
You built it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Notice how you guys react, but believe me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
So
yeah.
When this, and it shows up in all kinds of things. We're talking about business right now, but it also shows up in how we feel about how we look and how other people feel about us and how our kids feel about us. It shows up in all kinds of places. So you need to know a little bit about where it comes from. And you have a very unique situation because you grew up with a positive mental attitude environment.
I did.
And you grew up with the opposite.
Very opposite.
Right?
Yeah.
Very opposite. I
mean,
you guys are
supported.
Like two different worlds here.
Yeah. But coincidentally, we know each other since we were children.
Exactly. So we are always in each other's sphere. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Her
sister was my best friend since I was 12.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and still best friends to this day.
Still to this day.
Wow.
Yeah. Shout out, Tasha.
Tasha. Yeah.
No. Well, that's really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And did you like each other?
We didn't really know each other. We were in just different circles.
Yeah. She's my little sister's best friend, and they went off and did their own thing. I wasn't really hanging around them too much. But, I mean, obviously I knew Trish, but...
Yeah.
But it wasn't until we were adults that we really started to go, oh.
So you guys had two different experiences because your negative self-talk was birthed when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And yours showed up as a human being in your life.
Yeah.
It wasn't internal at all with you. It was external.
Right. I had gone and achieved so many things that most people don't ever get to by such a young age. Mm-hmm. And I was just feeling on top of the world. And then I was just knocked off with my rocker because I thought mm-hmm. I was, you know, found the one. And the one
well,
turned out to be an amazing life lesson. So thank you, universe, for the lesson.
Right.
I've grown and changed and been able to work through that and talk to other people about it too, because there are so many people who have that outside influence and it affects their lives.
So if you look at these two extremes, which is kind of how I see them, you had the situation where between the ages of 4 and 7, you were being told a lot of things and you were seeing a lot of things that caused you to make decisions about yourself in particular, because when we're little, we're very egocentric. We never think it's outside. We never think it's them. We mm-hmm. always think it's us. I always use the example of the 4-year-old boy who's in a restaurant and watches people going in and out of a glass door. And so he gets up and he goes over and pushes on the door. And he can't open it because it's too heavy. He doesn't think it's the door. He thinks it's him. Oh, I'm not strong enough.
Right.
I can't do this. So there's a decision then that's made. I'm not strong. rather than the door is too heavy. Well, that's what we do with everything. We internalize it. So, and you know, people will talk about when parents are having problems, kids figure out a way to make it be their fault. Well, that's what we do. So the decisions we make between the ages of 4 and 7 are all about us, not about what's actually going on. And so the way you have to unravel it is to go back and look at what's actually going on. Your case was the opposite.
Oh, yeah, no, I was
you were given
on,
all
supported,
positive.
Could do it anything.
Was, yep, you're yep. beautiful, you're gorgeous, you're smart, you can do whatever you want. So you were totally unprepared to deal with the negative.
I was. It was like a bulldozer in the beginning.
Yeah.
It
so,
really
but see,
it
the
like
opposite.
Tore me apart.
You were unprepared for, be, to, you were prepared for failure, not success. You were prepared for success, not failure.
Failure.
Okay. So then when an opposing force showed up in your life, you had no tools to deal with it.
Yeah, no, I was torn down. I was
yeah.
torn down completely.
And you were defenseless.
Right.
You
and
were
then
defenseless.
It took years
right.
to build back up and to realize that, you know, those were an outside force that I had no control of. That was projection. That was control. Those are all the things that mm-hmm. were being presented to me. And I was in a broken state. And I believe had I not had the foundation mm-hmm. when everything came crashing down on it, that I wouldn't have been able to rebuild the way that mm-hmm. I have.
You had the opposite though. You came out of feeling like you couldn't do things. And so you built slowly but surely. You had a career prior to real estate where you were good at something and you could, and there you had evidence of it because it was visible.
Yeah.
When you
still
did a good
to this
job.
Day, half of
still
it's
to this day is visible. I was very, very artistic.
Okay. Yes. So you could see
yes.
your success. You didn't have to visualize it. You could see it. Coming into real estate then was a totally different thing.
Well, let me tell you something interesting about that, though, real quick, because this is just an indicator of how my mind thinks, right?
Okay.
So back then it was, you know, faux finishing, and I did a lot of things. There's a lot of things that you see, like, on the strip that I was a part of or did. And it was, when I got into it, it was kind of accidental, kind of stumbled into it. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't purposeful that I got into, like, hey, I'm going to go be an artist. And even when I did, I was skilled. I was good from the beginning. Like, people were like, wow, you have a talent. You have a skill. And I was like, oh, I'm not an artist.
Oh,
this
right.
is just accident. Yeah. It was just accidental. Every time right. I've had this whole, like, thing in my head always that's like, oh, you did this great. But it
doesn't
was just
really
accidental.
Count.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't really count. How lucky you must have been.
Yeah. How lucky I must have been to just be able to, you know, paint a cloud. And yeah.
But, isn't it amazing how good we are at taking away from ourselves?
Right.
I mean, we're really good at that. We internalize that at a very early age. So it's not really you. You're not really good. It's an accident. It's a miracle. Actually, the fact that you got into a job like that is an absolute gift from God. I mean, you know that. It is, because you could see your success.
Yes.
It's very hard if you don't have any evidence of success. It doubles the trouble. But when you came into real estate, you didn't have any evidence. You were going on blind faith.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And your unconscious mind, your drunk monkey, if you will, would get activated, I'm guessing, on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it still does. So when we talk about how to manage it, the management of it is, first of all, recognizing it. Because when these thoughts show up in the beginning, especially before you start realizing that that's a negative self-talk, it just makes sense. In fact, when I'm working with people, this is what they'll say to me. Well, Sharon, I'm just being realistic. I go, oh, yeah.
Okay.
So Sharon, can we... just for our audience out there, this is going to be a two-part show. We have
yeah,
a lot to talk
over.
About, and yeah. we're getting to the end of our show right now, and managing this and talking about realistic is a good way to go into the next session.
Yep.
You guys are going to have to wait for their part two. It's going to air during the week of Thanksgiving, because we are not going to be in here. We're going to be hopefully eating lots of turkey.
Yep.
Celebrating with our families.
Celebrating.
Taking some much needed decompression time.
Yep. And doing some stuff. But after you've ate all that turkey and you feel bad about yourself and you're telling yourself,
you're like, oh, I should have ate
two pieces of negative things, log into our show and we're going to fix it.
We're going to snap your head on right. You're going to be just fine. You're going to survive the holidays with these quick tips that we're going to give you. So, yes. That is the end of our first show, but we are real estate.
Yep.
And if you do need help with real estate, Trish, how do they get a hold of you?
702-308-2878, Trish Williams.
And Sharon, how do they get a hold of you?
Sharon Swanton, 702-289-1537.
And Sharon, if you guys need a coach in your life, it doesn't matter if you're in real estate, doesn't matter if you own a cupcake shop, it doesn't matter what you're doing, or even if you're just, if you're at home raising those children, that is a job that you could be coached through, and it's true. My gosh, I give it to you because I couldn't.
Yeah. True.
It is. That's a hard job.
I have coaching clients in a variety of walks of life. Real estate is not the only thing.
Yes.
Right. So. Because there's always a way to better yourself and to grow.
And mm-hmm. the principles apply really in general.
Yeah.
These principles.
Well, because we all have brains. And
yes,
that Petri dish is its own project, right? Got to snap that on.
Yep.
Absolutely. And Tiana, how do people call you?
All right. You guys can give me a call or a text, 702-379-9948. And we will continue this conversation Thanksgiving.
Yes. And next week, tune in, 9:30 a.m. Like, comment, share, tell your friends about us. Keep on downloading. Keep on watching. And on the next show, we're not going to be reporting numbers. I'll talk about that when we start the next show. See you guys next week.
Bye, guys. Have a great week.
Bye. Bye.